Let's take the scriptures now, and we will turn in them to 1 Peter and chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll be reading verses 4 through 8. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 through 8. And, beloved, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His blessing upon us. Father, we pray that we would not be so hard-hearted that we would not relent, that we would not repent of our sins. And upon coming to the stone, the living stone, Jesus Christ, we would not stumble and fall and be dashed to pieces, but rather that You would lay us upon the wall of one of the other stones, upon which the very foundation, the cornerstone, is Jesus Christ, who is perfect in every way, so that the house that You are building, we are confident will never fall, but remains always and perfectly stable for Your glory. Father, help us this evening. Remember the gospel. Remember Your Son. That we would not go from here thinking that we are okay and safe, but only because of Him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 Peter 2. And verses 4 through 8, these are God's words. And coming to Him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in Him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. And that is God's word. Well, this passage, to most of us, or all of us, should be most familiar to you. Here we find a passage that is quoted many times, or many passages that are quoted many times throughout the Scriptures, that fact alone should communicate the importance of these words in the doctrines of some doctrines like God, doctrines of Christ, the Church, and for your faith and life. Up front, what we learn is very simple. It is the gospel call to you, to all of you. And we can think of it in this way, that there are some stones in the path of your life that can be ignored or simply avoided. Just like if you're going on a trail, you're walking, or you're on a trail riding a bike, often you have to avoid large stones or go around smaller ones. But there is, beloved, one stone that every man, woman, and child, every woman and every child cannot avoid or ignore. You do not have an option in the matter. And that stone here is described as that living stone, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, coming here this evening, you found that stone in your path, as you should when you come to the worship of God. And once again, you have only two options. You can accept Him, and He will become the foundation stone of your life, the chief cornerstone of your life, or you can reject Him. If you accept Him, trust in Him, You will never be disappointed or put to shame. Never for all eternity. But will be blessed forever. But if you do choose to reject Him, He will not be to you a cornerstone, but a stumbling stone. A stone that you trip over and fall upon. Like Jesus Himself says in Luke 20, everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. And that's the main point of the passage this evening before us. So you can keep that, and you must keep that in your minds, and hopefully your hearts. That fact should be towards the front of your thoughts this evening. By God's appointment and by the clear, unavoidable testimony of His Word, Jesus Christ can be only to you one of two types of stones. A foundation stone or a stumbling stone. My first point this evening is Christ the living stone. Christ the living stone. Now many of you know Jesus as the foundation stone of your entire existence. As you are one of the people in chapter 1, verse 23, who are born again, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable. And that is through the living and enduring Word of God. You've been born by the power of the Holy Spirit through the preaching of God's Word. Normally, you are real Christians. And you who are Christians agree with the Father that Jesus is the Lord's living stone. His chosen instrument. Very precious. Now why a living stone? Verse 4 it says, and coming to Him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. Why a living stone? Beloved, what happens when people die? What happens to their physical bodies before it's buried? The body becomes very hard, cold, lifeless. It becomes hard and stiff like a stone. That's the word picture here. Think of world religious leaders throughout all of time. You think all the way back to the beginning of the Bible. Cain, or even Seth, Abel. You think of Saul, King Saul, Uzziah that we just read about and partially or made reference to. Alexander the Great. So not just people in the Bible, but Alexander the Great, Herod the Great, any Pope of Rome, any Queen or King of England, any presidents of our country, and we can go on with the list. It includes all men, it includes all women, it includes all children who have died. What are their dead bodies like? They're all the same. They become lifeless and hard and stiff. They are dead and lifeless as rocks or stones are dead and lifeless. But not Christ. Christ died on the cross, yes, but Peter testified, and many others with Peter, that He did not stay that way, right? He rose from the dead. You can see it in chapter 3, verse 18, if you turn there. Chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that He might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. His body died, but now is alive. Christ's resemblance to stones is not in His lifelessness, but in His stability, in His unshakableness, His alone suitability as a foundation to build your lives upon. Christ is the living stone. He is not stiff or hard, but the living stone. Secondly, it says there in verse 4, He is choice in the sight of God. Choice. He was chosen. Was this an accident? Christ appearing in the world, His body, having a real, true body. It absolutely was not. For before the foundation of the world, you know, the Father and the Son covenanted together. There was a contract, a promise made that Christ would be sent to redeem the people of God. This was the eternal promise to send the mediator to save the church unto Himself. There in eternity past, it was determined in the decrees of God, not in a factor of time at all, but in eternity, that after mankind sinned against the law of God and became guilty before God, that Christ would be sent into the world to redeem a chosen people to Himself from the curse of that law. It's spoken of a lot in Scripture. Ephesians 1 perhaps is pretty clear. And it says there, Ephesians 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have the redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times." That is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens, things on earth. He chose us in Him. There is a choice in Him. But the Lord did not, of course, wait until Paul's day to reveal these truths. Yahweh told His people about the living stone way back in Isaiah 28, verse 16, which is, of course, we just kind of heard about, is about 700 years before Christ came incarnate and took on that real body. And we find it quoted from the Greek translation in verse 6 of our passage. So you have the Greek translation. I'll read the original in Isaiah itself. It says in Isaiah 28, verse 16, "Behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste." Whoever believes will not be in haste. That is, for those who do believe in Christ, in this tested and precious cornerstone, then for their life they, and hopefully it is for you, you won't seek after other remedies for your sin problem. You won't be impatient, seeking other ways, after other ways, waiting for the many other promises to come. You won't be impatient, waiting, and seek after another way. You won't make haste. That's the context of Isaiah. You won't seek after other remedies waiting for Christ to come. Rather, you'll be content with Christ alone. You'll be content with the promise of the coming One. Satisfied in the promises. And the Greek translation in our passage, verse 6, is of course implied in that. You won't be disappointed. You'll be fully satisfied in Christ alone. If you believe, you'll be content with Christ. He's the chosen instrument. But God knew, of course, even before Isaiah, that that stone, Christ, that He, the Father, was about to lay as a foundation in Zion, would be rejected by the majority of the nation of Israel, and certainly, as we know from the Gospel, by the Jewish leaders. That's why we also read about this in Psalm 118, verse 22. which we have quoted for us in verse 7. "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." Beloved, Christ is the chosen instrument of the Father to be for us the cornerstone. And then thirdly, verse 4, He is precious in the sight of God. Precious in the sight of God. It actually says here, choice in the sight of God and precious in the sight of God. Here it's precious in the sight of God. But why is he precious? This Christ is the one of whom the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Christ is precious in the sight of God. And so precious, the Father set a king on Zion, his holy hill, and that being Christ. This Christ is now highly honored, highly exalted, being made higher than all the kings of the earth, higher than all the angels in heaven, and higher than the heavens themselves, even as we heard this morning. As our king, he's been set down at the right hand of God, and a name has been given to him that is above every other name in this world, and the world to come. If you believe in him, then you see him, Christ, as more precious than any other thing, than any rubies or diamonds or precious stones, more precious than any creature, more precious than anything else in this creation. His person is precious, so is his name. His blood, his righteousness, his truths, his ordinances, his people. And if he is so precious in your eyes, how much more precious is he in the sight of God? To the Father, who is in perfect communion with his Son and who loved us so much that he sent him to redeem us from our sins. And so Christ is the living stone, a chosen instrument, you might say, and precious. Now, secondly, Christ's living stones, that's possessive. Christ's living stones. You see the language there in verse 5. We'll start in verse 4. It says, "And coming to him as to a living stone which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also," and he's talking about to the saints, "you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." You also as living stones, he says. Christ's living stones. Who are these living stones? Well, of course, it's you. That's who he's speaking to. You. The saints. Those, again, we reference in chapter 1, verse 23, who have been born again of imperishable seed through the living and enduring Word of God. Those who have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit and believed in Christ, the living stone, and who have not stumbled over Him, but now have been set upon Him as the foundation, now you're living stones on top of the stone which lives, or which is ever living. And those such are living stones. Hopefully you are living stones, each child of God, as one of these living stones that make up the church, or as it describes here, making up the building of God. Now, thinking about this building, when a builder examines materials with which to build, it is asked, is this wood what is needed for the project? Or will this stone work for this project? And the builders in Israel examined Christ, didn't they? That's the picture here. The builders in Israel examined Christ, and they rejected him. When God presented his foundation stone, Christ, saying, "This is what you need," the Pharisees, the scribes, the Jewish leaders, the high priests were all but unanimous in their rejection of Christ. This stone didn't fit their plan. This stone was all wrong to them. This was not the glorious king. He will not grant us power over our enemies. This is what they would be saying and thinking. He doesn't confirm our high opinions of ourselves. He does not promise us worldly wealth. He doesn't give us assurances that if we follow him, we will not suffer for it. Rather, he breaks our laws. Right? The Jewish had extra laws, right? They were legalists. Therefore, we cast this stone out of our city. Out of the way, this stone, this Christ, is only fit for the dung heap. Now, of course, we have to acknowledge that this stone is not, it's not the stone that is unsuitable. It's the plans of the builders that is unsuitable. They didn't want to build a spiritual house, a temple in which God would forever dwell with His people. They were building a carnal kingdom, a place where fallen desires were catered to. Christ could never make a suitable foundation stone for that kingdom, and today that is still why men reject Christ. The plans they make for their lives are not God's plans. Their desires are not God's desires. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, right? But to the living stones, the Christians, who desire to be part of that heavenly city, New Jerusalem, who believe in the promises of God, Jesus is the ideal foundation stone. Everything in this world you've seen and you know, if you consider it rightly, that it's really vanity. It can be useful, but it'll all perish. And in that way, it's vanity. You try to gain, you try to hold on to it. What the world builds is on shifting sand, right? And living stones, no, that is the devil's counterfeit, the sand. It looks good, it seems satisfying, but it's a building where great will be its fall. And you know when the storm comes, that house will never stand because it's not built upon the rock. It's not built upon the living stone. Now the foundation stone, the cornerstone, is incredibly important because it sets the angle and the level of all the foundation, the walls around it. It has to be perfect. Or all the stones placed upon it would be off as well. So if you just the foundation, the cornerstones are just a little bit off, everything else will be off. And as construction continues, the walls get built up, even a minor flaw with that cornerstone would become worse and worse and worse, and the building will be entirely unstable. And there's some buildings that we can see if you go around, not made well. You can tell that they don't have a very good cornerstone. It's not placed properly. Now what God is doing with Christians, with you Christians, He's taking you and shaping you after the image of Christ. You're being built upon the cornerstone. He's shaping you like and based upon that foundation stone. He's making you living stones as well. Verse 5, you're being built up as a spiritual house upon the foundation, the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Stone by stone, He's building a temple fit for Him to dwell in. He's building Christ's church with you. It's not separate. He's not building the church and here you are, outside of the church. You can't, even as an individual Christian, you can't be by yourself. That's impossible. There's no salvation outside of the church. But He's building the church with you. Not just the church here on earth, but the church that will exist for all eternity. And of course, it's parallel to Ephesians 2 that says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And this you'll be able to see the effects of that process in your life as you are shaped, you are prepared for your own place in the wall, in His building. You're being conformed to the image of Christ in that way, on the perfect cornerstone. That's where you in the wall are being built perfectly. Being made perfect. And you will become what? It's the whole main point of the passages we've heard in 1 Peter so far, all the way back to chapter 1. You'll become more holy. Chapter 1, verse 16, that's the point of this passage. How are you to become holy? Well, you're built on the cornerstone. Christ, who is holy. Therefore, because He is holy, you are to be holy. This will mean at times on this earth, pain. As God removes things from your life, shapes the stone, let's say, using that word picture, that you don't fit the pattern in some ways, well, He's going to make you fit the pattern. He's going to make you holy. And it can mean also that your life will be increasingly one long sacrifice of praise to Christ. Why? Because to you who believe the gospel, Jesus is very precious. And you will praise Him and sacrifice your life for Him. Nothing to you is to have greater value or be more precious than He is. He is to be your treasure. And without Him, no, you cannot do anything. It's Him that you cannot go without. A woman who feels that way would gladly wash Christ's feet with her tears, right? From the Gospels. A man would rejoice to be found worthy to suffer for His name, as we might see in the book of Acts. Jesus is so precious to believers that if Satan were to appear and promised you authority over all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory, if you would just forsake Christ forever and worship Him, that is, worship Satan, you would not hesitate for a moment, but you would say, "Get behind me, Satan." And in this way, you who believe are set upon that firm foundation, the cornerstone, to live is Christ, to die is gain. You're living upon the cornerstone, you're there even if you die, because you know you will gain, because you're part of the building, the temple of God, wherein the Holy Spirit will dwell. What does all this imply? Notice that God says what He is doing with believers is forming them together to build His church. Again, He doesn't set down the living stones by themselves. They're not individually thrown around, tossed, or not even tossed in a pile. We are only really where we are supposed to be when we are together as the body of Christ. There are no Christians who go it alone. There are many people in the world today who try to think that way. They say, "I believe the gospel, but I'm living by myself. I'm living out my life by myself. I don't have to go to a church or a congregation where they worship." And we might think that the church was created by God to serve the needs of an individual or even perhaps even a family. But what God tells us is that both Christian individuals and Christian families are all intended to be part of His church. Cannot be separated from the bridegroom, but the bride is one, right? And so now what kind of stone is Jesus to you? Is He your cornerstone? Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe the good news that Jesus is precious to you? Or have you rejected Him? Verse 4. Have you rejected Him? Are you the end of verse 7? Those who disbelieve, and thus Christ to you is not a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, but He is the stone which the builders rejected, like you, and thus is a stone of stumbling. Isaiah 8 says, "And He will become a sanctuary and a stone of offense and a rock of stumbling to both houses of Israel, a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and many shall stumble on it. They shall fall and be broken. They shall be snared and taken." Is that you? Christ to you is a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. And you stumble because you're disobedient to the Word and to this doom you were appointed? Is Christ unsuitable for your plans? Have you put upon Him your stamp that says, "Reject," like the Pharisees did, the scribes did, the high priest did? Will you finally prove yourself to be amongst those who were appointed not for glory, but for eternal judgment? That is, being crushed by this stone. And if you have, if that fits the description of you, then you must reconsider. Please reconsider. Those of you who still do not quite believe, consider, if you won't listen to the testimony of Scripture, then at the very least consider the evidence of the world. and see the long-term results of building on sand. You know the result if you build on sand. Don't fool yourself. If you will not come to Christ, the only impediment is the hardness of your heart. You're your own stumbling block. And you'll stumble over Him. And you'll build yourself on the sand, and great will be your fall. But come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Do not reject Him, but accept Him, trust Him, and you'll be never disappointed. You'll never be put to shame. Never for all eternity. But for those who believe and put themselves upon the cornerstone, built upon the cornerstones, the Lord puts you there and makes you holy, then you will be blessed forever. And that is the only hope you have. And so two options. You can have Christ as your foundation stone, cornerstone, or you can have Him as your stumbling stone, where you fall and are dashed to pieces. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we're thankful for the gospel, for your word. We thank you that Christ is the living stone, choice and precious in your sight. And Father, we pray that He would be precious in our sight as well. That you would build us upon Him. And that you would build us and mold us into the image of Him. In righteousness, holiness, and knowledge. That you would grant us holiness, making us holy as you are holy. And we know that this is not possible apart from your Son. Even as we have believed in your Son, we have believed the gospel, we know that even our sanctification is not possible apart from Him. And so let us not think that we are strong enough to sanctify ourselves or cleanse us of our sins or put to death the sin that remains, but that we would keep trusting and submitting unto your Son by the strength and power and grace of the Holy Spirit that you're working within us. Father, show us mercy that we would not be a people who are described as no mercy or no compassion or not my people, but we would be called the people of the living God as living stones built upon the foundation of Christ Himself. This we plead, and this we cry out to you. We ask that you would help us and do this according to your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.